Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and PowerTee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
For you as well. It's not the final hour. We're going to go to 6:30, right up until Dunkin' Donuts pregame, beers, and Sirot with the pregame show at 6:30 and the call shortly after 7. So keep it right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. I mentioned this before. I start off the show by asking you who's got the most pressure on them tonight. And I think it's Toronto as a team. Just because, again, that's their life up there. And, you know, we keep trying to say it, but just the civic pressures up there, the media pressures, the fan pressures,
expect the worst to happen.
Well, no, but it's just they're just the interest in the team is massive.
It's ginormous. Have you seen those images of the people standing outside the arena watching the game on TV?
Of course.
It's like it's unbelievable what happens up there on game night. It's awesome to experience, by the way.
They haven't won a playoff round in 15 years. They haven't won a cup in, is it 50?
Something like that.
Was it 69 was the last time?
I think that's right.
Okay, they haven't won a cup in 50. The entire country of Canada hasn't won a flipping cup in 23 years, I think it is. 24 years, something like 26 years, something like that. Montreal 93, was that it? So maybe 26 years, quarter century. So it's the pressures up there are massive. They have more pressure than the Bruins do, where if here they lose, trust me, Felger and Maz will be pissed. Our callers will be pissed. We will bitch about them in our own little hockey bubble here for the next 6 months, and we'll chirp them, and it'll be annoying. But really, at the end of the day, Boston will go to bed, and it will wake up tomorrow and start looking forward to the 7th Super Bowl championship from the Patriots and the Celtics beginning their second-round series on the way to another NBA final, probably. And it'll just be another frustrating loss in a line of frustrating Bruin losses, but the sun will rise, the sun will set, and we will have lunch in Boston. In Toronto, it'll explode. So there's more pressure on Toronto. There just is. But the stakes are higher here in Boston. I'm sorry, the stakes are higher. I think the stakes are higher here because this might be the last swing at it here for this group. And it ain't going to – this I can tell you, it ain't ever going to line up like it's lining up right now, where if they win tonight, the road to the cup goes through Boston. They're the highest remaining seed, and they'll have home ice for the entire rest of the playoffs.
Capitals could get knocked off tomorrow night.
The Capitals are 3-3.
I mean, isn't that amazing? Like, you talk about the road being paved for you. And I would say that, and look, I think Washington's going to win that game. But even so, nonetheless, the reality is they have a game 7. You never know what the hell's going to happen. I think that part of it is true for either team that comes out of this series, is that all of a sudden you are in pretty good shape, man, heading for the next 2-3 rounds, depending on how it goes from there. So, but look, you make a good point about the Bruins. Like, you know, and Jack Edwards made a good point in the last segment when he was here. what are the chances Krejci has another year like this?
Well, and altogether.
I was going to say, but I'll tell you what, like, let's just keep it to Krejci for 1 second. It took him 5 years to do this?
Damn straight.
Like, the chances of Krejci putting all this together again are small, let alone doing it in tandem.
With Chara still being functional, Rask actually being good, and Bergeron and Marchand still being Bergeron and Marchand. It's not going to happen again. Krejci's going to fall back off. Chara's going to get hurt. Rask is going to either poop himself or get traded or something. I think this is like the last roundup for this group. And it's possible they all come back. But if they all come back, don't tell me they're all going to be healthy and productive like they are right now while the rest of the league falls apart. So I think like the door is ajar maybe for the last time for this group.
And that's why I would hate if you were right if people just looked at this, because we're so spoiled now that it's on to the next thing. It's on to the Patriots' seventh Super Bowl championship, or it's on to the Celtics, because I would be pissed forever if they lose this series.
I'll tell you, though, that can be a motivator, though, to know if that's a message between those veteran guys. Because you remember when they won it in 2011, I remember Lucic making a similar kind of comment, I think, after they beat the Canadians, where he said, you know, if we lost again, they'd have probably started taking this thing apart. They might not have kept us all together. And instead, we now go forward and we win a cup. And, you know, and maybe it was a little later in the playoffs, but, like, it was a, you know, that was a huge pivotal point, that Game 7 against Montreal. And now you have, you know, this core, they've had some good years here, these guys. Bergeron, Chara, Krejci, like, right across the board. And so you get by this one, well, then all of a sudden you start to get a little bounce in your legs again, and now here you go. Maybe you can make a run.
Okay, what specific player has the most pressure on him tonight? And you can throw in the goalies if you want.
Tuca.
Yeah, it's Rask.
Is that the same on the Toronto side? Wouldn't you say that someone in Toronto like Tavares may have even more pressure on him than the goalie?
I mean, I said Tavares earlier when we touched on this, and I think it is Tavares. I just don't think you can have everything you described in that market up there, the passionate fan base, the importance to the city that the franchise is, the drought that they have had, which is 52 years. It was 67
Jesus.
That they won the cup. 52 freaking years. That's like the equivalent, you know, dare I say the Yankees, for crying out loud, or something like that. Because that's what the Leafs are, to go that length of time, all of that. Then have the young players that they have on the roster. You hit the free agent market and you sign the biggest guy out there to a massive contract.
Hometown.
He's a hometown boy on top of it. And then you're going to come in here and crap your pants? Oh, no, 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 no. You can't do that. Can't do that. So to me, Tavares has a huge amount of pressure on him.
Maybe even more than the goalie.
I mean, truth be told, if I'm the Bruins, he scares me a little tonight. Because it felt to me like it started to turn with Tavares at the end of that last game. All of a sudden, I was starting to notice him, and it was scaring me. Because, you know, like he can score 4 goals in a night. We all know that. And he'll fight for pucks. He'll do a lot of those things. If he's motivated, he can be a force in this
and
game.
And I'm with Jack Edwards. I think it's Mitch Marner, who was, you know, a factor in these first couple of games. And since he was, you know, taking pucks to the head, basically, and trying to stop Pasternak's shots, he's been a nothing in this series.
Okay. So Rask is at – I know, sort of predictable to say the goalie, but I think he's the one guy that could lose a job based off tonight. If anyone has a really crappy night tonight, I mean, Krejci is someone that I think they should be looking onto. He's the highest paid player on the team. I don't know where they are with that, but it won't be based on tonight because he had a really good year, his best year in years. So, I mean, all things that we've just said. It's not like tonight's going to force Krejci out of town. And it's not like tonight's going to force Krug out of town. I'm with you. I don't think he's been a total fit all year. He's just a little overpaid, and I don't know. But it's not like tonight's going to do it. Rask has had a good year and a good playoff. But if he reverts and craps his pants tonight, I can see Cassidy and Cam Neely and all those guys having finally lost, you know, patience with him and say, we're moving on. You make too much money for you to crap your pants every year in the playoffs, even if it's just one game as opposed to the whole series. It would just been one game. So Rask is the only one, I think, who could really lose a job based off of tonight.
Oh, I wouldn't rule that out. I mean, again, I could totally see that scenario happening that you just painted, that they just say, you know what, we got Halak under contract for another year. After that, we'll figure it out. We'll bring up Vladar, however you pronounce
it. Or find another guy for
right.
$3 million and have a true platoon, and that's that.
Right, because that's basically what they had this year anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really a platoon. They pretty much flipped every game. So I could totally see that coming down. And given his Game 7 history, those numbers we were rattling off earlier, 2-2 career in game sevens, save percentage in the 840s and a goal percentage of 375 or 374.
Folks, tonight is going to be a true crap fest. Hazmat crews are standing by at the Garden. Fecal matter will be flying everywhere. They're going to be handing out. They will be handing out ponchos to the crowd coming in tonight. Free ponchos to the 10,000 in the lower bowl. Because when you look at Tuukka Rask's and Frederik Andersen's Game 7 numbers, it is a crapatorium of suck. Tuukka Rask, okay, is bad enough. Game 7 career, 2-2, 3.72 goals against, and an .845 save percentage. That is wretched. That is just wretched. So he's 2-2, but the only two games he won were against this Toronto team that gagged both of their games away. It's not like Tuukka Rask shut anybody down. The one game that was okay on the from a stat standpoint was when they lost 3-1 to Montreal in Game 7 in 2014. Do you know if he gave up those three goals on 18 shots?
Dude. I don't remember that.
Three goals on 18 shots. Tuukka Rask has never had a good Game 7. He has never had a good Game 7, only to be bettered or worsened by Frederik Andersen. Career Game 7, 0-3, 4.5 goals against, save percentage of .840. Folks, bring the hand sanitizer. There will be fecal matter flying everywhere tonight at the Garden.
Oh, yeah. No, they're going to have to give you like one of those lead things that you put over your body when you take an X-ray. Seriously, that's what they're going to be giving out to fans when they come in the building tonight.
It's a crap fest for Game 7. There's your game reset to your reaction right after this.
Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, Bruins Game Day on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Broadcasting live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, it's Felger and Mann. Bruins Game Day on your home of the Bees. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
15 left. All season long, the Bruins have been resilient. All season long, the Boston Bruins have found a way. Tonight, trailing, heading into the third period, the Boston Bruins make it happen. The Bruins win it in Game 7. Victory 7-4 over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Goodbye, Toronto. Hello, Tampa.
Again, that's how it ended last year. Last year's Game 7 at home against Toronto. That's the final call from Judd Surratt. What do we got this year? As you just had a point off the air about that game last
year. So, look, we had Terry Koshanen from the Toronto Sun earlier on, and he was saying about how the Leafs are using last year as a positive, not a negative, because we talk about sort of the burden that comes with that franchise and that uniform. And I just think that, you know, the more I think about it, this is sort of a pivotal moment in their development. And if you want to, it's not exactly, you know, a perfect analogy, but let's go back to the Bruins in 2010. They're up 3-0 to the Flyers, and they lose. What happens? They come back the next year. They get over the hump. And not only that, they played the Flyers in the playoffs and wiped them out. Swept them the next year, right? Like, nope, we're over it. We are moving on, and now we're going on to bigger and better things. Well, the Leafs are in sort of a similar spot now. They were down 3-1. They came back in the series. They forced a Game 7. They were up 4-3 going into the final period. They were up, and they lose. Then this series, they've led throughout. They're up 3-2. They're going home to Game 6. They lose that game, and they're going to come here and lose Game 7 again? Like, if that happens, all of a sudden, you know what they're going to hear next year? Yeah, the Leafs are having a great regular season. They'll play the Bruins in the first round. They'll lose in 7. Right? That's going to, like, because it's going to become like this annual rite of passage for them up there, for crying out loud. It's just going to get harder every year if they lose this game. Like this, for their development, if they're going to become the championship team that they look like they're headed toward with all these young guys and Babcock and Tavares, all of it, they got to beat the Bruins here tonight. They got to beat them. Otherwise, this thing gets worse.
We continue with your reaction leading up to Game 7 again. Felger and Maz go to 6:30 tonight, so bonus time here. Bob Beers will join us in the 6 o'clock hour as well. Scott in Abington, what do you got for us?
Yeah, we do. I think you touched on this, Felger, a little bit, but I think tonight, I don't know what Cassidy's infatuation with Nordstrom is, but I think they need Backes in the lineup. He's a heavy body. We're not going to beat them in a speed game. He's the assistant captain for a reason. And then on top of that, people are trying to throw Cassidy under the bus in evaluation. I mean, this season, we had a pretty much Providence team, and he got us through. He's been one of the best coaches. I think he could be up for Coach of the Year. And tonight, I think Backes needs to be in there for his leadership. He's a veteran.
Okay, you gave me the Backes point already. He's not going to be in. Cassidy said he's going with the same lineup as Game 6. So Nordstrom's in. Carson Kuhlman's in. Backes is out. Wagner's out. We'll see. I mean, I don't get the Nordstrom thing either. He's like the guy who must have pictures of Bruce with barnyard animals or something. I have no idea. He likes him for the penalty kill, and, you know, if their goalie's pulled at the end of the game, Nordstrom's one of the guys on the ice in those situations. But I don't see it. I don't see it from Nordstrom. I don't know what to tell you. Cassidy likes him. But the thing is true about, I think Cassidy's been so good in the regular season, he set his team up to be postseason underachievers. Because they're not as good as the regular season records have shown the last couple of years. I just don't think so. I think they're coached up. And so,
oh, they definitely are.
That sort of works against Cassidy when he gets into the postseason.
I'm glad Kuhlman's in this game.
Anthony in Boston. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, guys. How's it going? So I've been listening. So there's three things I agree on. Pasta's been subpar. Rask has an enormous amount of pressure on him. And Anderson's been better. So the Bruins have had a higher shot on goal percentage in almost all of six games. So in game 4 and 6, they put more, almost double shots on goal. So my take is that the team can look and stop looking for the perfect pass like they did in game 3 and 5, and players like Pasta can just put shots on goal. Rask can just play consistent like he has all series, and Coyle and Krejci can win faceoffs against Tavares and Matthews. I think the boys take it tonight. I'll hang up.
Okay, man. You gave me like four things, but just that first thing, how about just getting pucks on net? Fine. Simplify. Yeah, and again, especially with bad ice. All that dipsy-do stuff on the bad ice has not worked out for him here in Boston. Speaking of that, Mike in Boston on the ice. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Just want to touch on the point of the ice. This has been the same ice that they've skated on all year. So now all of a sudden, Game 7, why is the ice such a big concern? If they lose tonight, it's not because of the ice. It's because they weren't the better team tonight, and they're not putting the puck on net and getting traffic in front of the net. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about the ice.
Yeah, it's a built-in excuse. I wish Marcia never brought it up.
Me too. And it also invites these callers to talk about their backyard rink and dehumidifiers and, you know, radiant heat from all the digging under the garden, not to besmirch your take, Maz. You're probably right. But
I talked to my friend Butchie, who actually runs the Zamboni at Hockey Town in Saugus, and he said, like, it's been, you know, that's...
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. If you open it up to that, that's all you're going to get.
Yeah, Felger, they put in more manhole covers in the garage, and there's steam coming out of it.
I don't want to hear about the ice. Tracy in Arlington, I don't want to hear about the ice.
Well, you're going to hear about it. So they could control that. The old garden had no air conditioning. The new TD garden has humidity control and air conditioning, and they have two chillers. I'm a refrigeration mechanic. And they can control the temperature of the ice. I don't want to hear about choppy ice. I mean, after a period, when the Zamboni goes around, it's fast ice, and they go, oh, that's good. They're like, they got a power play, and it's going to be Tracy, fast ice.
Tracy, thank you for the call. I just can't. This is what happens.
I work in HVACR, and I know how to put down that ice.
Yeah, it's refrigeration. That's my specialty, and I just think they need a little Freon recharge.
If the ice sucks, shoot the puck and go to the net. Quit trying to dangle and all this fancy pants stuff. Put it on net and get to the net.
So, look, again, I'm not saying it's no excuse, because this is like people bitching about the weather in a football game, for crying out loud. Both teams are playing on it. Like what? One team has soft ice, the other one has hard ice? Like it just doesn't work that way. But I will say, in games 1 and 5, it was noticeable. I mean, the puck does bounce around.
Well, WBZ, was it Rochi, said it's 20 degrees colder in the Garden now than it's been for any game previously?
Good.
That is correct, yes.
I don't know how he's gauging it, but I'll take his word for it. John in Boston, keys to, for tonight. What do you got?
Mike, first-time call. I really enjoy listening to you, Mike. Let me say two points. One, you're absolutely right when you talk about intensity. To offset the speed of Toronto, the Bruins have to play with that intensity. I call it a real controlled anger or controlled hate. And I wish that Cassidy, even Sweeney and Cam Neely would talk to the team beforehand, before they go out there and say, this is, you know, this is like the biggest game of the year without question. Second point is I wouldn't mind if the Bruins take penalties on embellishment. You rarely see it called, but if they get touched, go down. The power play is so potent. Just flop all over the place, and maybe we'll get a few calls.
Let's not endorse that, John. Come on, let's not be that. Let's not be that. And they did that in Game 5, by the way. Those first two power plays were flops, were dives, and they got the calls. I hate it. You'll never hear me endorse that.
So, you know, let me tell you what I love, too. He wants Neely and Sweeney to go in there and talk to the team.
Guys that never won anything, all due respect.
That would be my answer. Why? What did they win? Those Bruins teams that you loved that played with hate.
Intensity?
Yeah.
Washington.
Jack. They won Jack. Okay? They won Jackson. Zero. And you know why they won zero? Because they didn't have enough skill, and they didn't have enough speed, and they couldn't score when they needed to score. That's why. They were tough. They were likable, but they couldn't win because they weren't as fast and skilled as everybody else.
This whole thing, all these Game 7s about the intensity, you know, certainly Game 7 against Tampa in 2011, that Game 7 to go to the Cup Finals, was just a epic, super intense, just unbelievable.
Great nightmare. Hockey game.
For the most part, though, Game 7s are sphincter-tightening.
Stress-drinking.
Fetal position. And I'm not even talking about us. I'm talking about the players, too.
Tractor pull.
Cautious. Conservative. You know, you'd rather,
everyone's terrified to make a mistake.
You'd rather be smart than intense. I mean, it's one thing. We're going to drive them through the wall. We're going to show them who we are. We're big, bad Bruins. No, no, no. What you're going to do is you're going to get back. You're going to make sure you don't give up any breakaways. You're going to chip the puck off the boards and not give up any stupid turnovers. You're going to try and get it deep, and you're just going to cycle in the corner and hope to get a few lucky bounces and get out of here without puking down the front of your jersey.
I mean, so to me, this is sort of a tricky thing for the Bruins because they need their D to be active more than Toronto does to score. Riley's an offensive defenseman. He's going to take his chances. But if he doesn't, well, between Marner and Matthews and Tavares and Neely, like, they just roll them out there. Like, there's so much speed there. Their forwards can generate it. I'm not sure the Bruins can if Toronto really wants to sit back and just jam the space in front of Anderson like they have in some of these games.
Coming up next, if the series ended tonight, who's the MVP? Who's the GOAT of the series? Who's been the biggest dog in the series? We'll discuss those things with your calls.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range. State-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Roto-Rooter. Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
From the center of the hockey universe, it's Stoker and Mass. This is Bruins Game Day. Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Experience matters. Again, I think it's still about effort and execution. I don't doubt either team will lack effort. I thought our execution was excellent yesterday, particularly in our breakouts. We were much more assertive with our forecheck, discipline, power play, obviously recovered pucks, penalty kill, got the clears. So I think it comes down to execution as much as anything. And what, you know, why do you execute some days better than others? Could be nerves tomorrow. Hopefully they're gone in a hurry for our younger guys. I imagine everybody would be a little bit have some level of butterflies, even the older guys. But once the puck drops, they've been there. and let's hope it helps us.
Bruce Cassidy yesterday on the mindset going into tonight's Game 7. Again, here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Pre-game at 6:30, post-game here on the radio right after the game ends. With Beers and Surratt. If you're watching on TV, me and Amonte will be on NBC Sports Boston coming right up after the final whistle from across the street at Ace Ticket. Come on over and pound on the glass if you want. Back to your phones. Your thoughts heading into Game 7. DJ and Waltham, what do you got, DJ?
What's up? Big shout-out to Maserati, you know, Waltham High School. It seems Tavares has been pretty quiet, especially compared to Matthews. Do you guys think it's a big night for Tavares? And do you think the best two-way forward in hockey in Bergeron could give him a tough time?
So these guys I find fascinating. Like, is because they've both been offensively kind of quiet. Now, Bergeron has been a plus in this series. Bergeron is, Tavares is minus four.
He is, yeah, minus four. The only player who's been worse is Muzzin.
Muzzin's minus six. Tavares is minus four, and Bergeron is a plus four. So in terms of that, Bergeron's a plus one. I take it back. Bergeron's a plus one. So in terms of that, Bergeron's gotten the better of the five-on-five play, except I would say they've both been kind of silent. Bergeron has only one assist five-on-five. Tavares has only an empty net goal. So they've sort of neutralized each other. Which do you say for each side that's a win? Like, are you happy in Toronto that Tavares has neutralized Bergeron? In Boston, are you happy that Bergeron's neutralized Tavares? Or are you sort of frustrated each of your guy for not producing? Either way, I don't know. Why do I feel like it's going to come down to those two? Like, whoever wins that matchup, whoever gets on the board between those two is going to have a huge advantage.
I mean, going off of last year, I feel like a draw is a win for Toronto. Because they just couldn't match up last year. Matthews had no shot. And so now, at the very least, they neutralize Bergeron and they get Matthews back, right? Because Matthews has been, you know, five goals. He's outscored everybody in this series.
Max in the truck, who do you like tonight, Game 7?
Hey, what's up, guys? I like the Bruins. I think Brad Marchand's going to have a huge game for him tonight. The Bruins are going to win 4-2. And Felger, send my best wishes to Gary Tanguay. I saw that he was diagnosed with, I think it was Hodgkin's.
Yes, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. We've all, I said this last night on our off-air show presented by Ace Ticket. All behind Gary Tanguay, and he came down with that, and it feels like the prognosis is good, and he's out ahead of it, and he was on TV last night. Without his beautiful head of hair, but you know, a lot of credit for Gary Tanguay for going out there and plugging away. And our thoughts are all behind Gare Bear there on NBC Sports Boston.
I mean, his spirits seem pretty good, which is important. I was stunned when I heard this, and so absolutely, we are 100% with Gary. No two ways about it.
What was his point on the game?
He was just making a prediction, and he thought that Marchand was going to be a star.
Marchand,
yeah, and Marchand to me has woke up, which has been nice, you know.
So I would say, okay, who's the MVP of the series so far?
Frederik Andersen. I think Andersen has been the one guy in the series that has been reliable in every game. That no one else really falls into that category. You know, Tuukka's been good, but there were a couple of games there with soft goals where you said, meh. And Andersen, to me, every game, as a Leafs fan, you should come out of it saying, no, the goalie was good. Yeah, like, no issue there.
Yeah, I think you'd also make a case for Austin Matthews, who's been really, really good in this series, and even defensively he's been disruptive. So,
how about Brad Marchand? Four goals, five assists, 9 points, plus three.
Yeah.
The leading scorer in the series by far. Austin Matthews is second with 6 points. If the Bruins win tonight, Marchand's the series MVP.
Absolutely. He's been great. And again, to me, I sort of notice that when they get production out of those three guys, even strength production, Marchand, Pastrnak, Bergeron, they win. I mean, that's really been the one consistent theme in the series that I could find.
Bobby in the truck, what do you got for us on the Bees?
Hey, Felger. I agree with Cassidy that it's going to come down to execution. But the biggest thing is that they need to get shots from inside the dots. Too often, and even in this series, they revert back to their Claude Julien days, taking shots from out in the blue, and you're not going to score high percentage from out there. They have to find a way to get the puck in tight and really challenge Andersen.
Agreed. Get down low. Lower the better.
Yeah, but see, I think that there's a little subtlety there because sometimes they try to get all their shots down there and good shots, and they make too many passes and don't get anything. So I don't have a problem with them taking shots from outside the circles as long as they're in front to get the rebounds. Like, to me, that's a big part of this game. If they're just trying to get the perfect shot, what's going to happen to them is what happened to them in Game 5.
Mike and Templeton, your thoughts.
Hey, guys. Hey, Felger, you really think these refs are doing a great job? I mean, I know you're going to make fun of me after this, but Chara's penalty, that was so BS. He got called for sending it into the crowd. It went into the bench. And then I think it was Corrali or it might have been Coleman. He gets tripped, and he gets called for high sticking the guy. Yeah, because his stick went up when he got tripped.
That was Nordstrom. I think the officiating has been a non-factor, if anything, slanted in your favor. That's what I think of the officiating. I think if anything, it's slanted in your favor. But for the most part, it's been a non-factor. And the Chara thing, you've heard different things. I never saw the angle, but if it went over the high glass before it went into the Bruins bench, then that is a delay of game. So I never saw that angle. Maz mentioned that, or someone mentioned that, that it went, you know, that little corner juts out before the benches. And if it goes over that corner, over the high glass, that is technically a delay of game, which means they got the call right. So,
but with Cassidy making the complaints to the league about these slew foots that Toronto's been getting away with, do you think it tightens up tonight?
I'd be stunned if they call that tonight. I'd be stunned if you got a slew foot call. And Cassidy might be right. They might be doing it. But I think there's a lot of little crap that goes
on there.
That's
what happened on that Nordstrom play.
Yeah, it did. It did. He got sort of kicked from behind and went flying up there. It did. But I'm sure the Bruins are doing all sorts. Like Marchand's empty net goal in Game 6, he hooked the guy. He hooked him. Yeah, that wasn't called. I mean, I think for the most part, the refereeing's been right down the middle, if anything, a little slanted to your favor. I don't want to hear this. Would you save that for the Celtics fans, please, and Patriots fans? You're better than that, Bruins fans.
I don't have an issue with the officiating. I really don't. I think overall it's been pretty well done. I don't feel like there have been anything super egregious that's been called. And just looking at the penalty minutes, if you throw out Kadri's misconduct, the 10 minutes for that,
yep.
35-28, I think it is. 35 penalty minutes for the Leafs, 28 for the Bruins.
Thank you.
So it's 7 minutes difference over six games.
Thank you. Okay, but that's still, it's slanted in your favor, like I said. Mike in Fall River, go.
I just calling about, when going back to you, what you said scares you the most. Tuukka scares me the most because I think it was the second game, there was a penalty shot. He made himself so small, and his ass was in the back of the net. You know, he's not.
That was the first game, Mike. But Rask, you know, given his Game 7 history, should scare you a little bit. But I'd say the same thing up in Toronto, looking at Frederik Andersen's Game 7 history. It's even worse. If that's possible, it's even worse.
I mean, if, you know, Murray, what you were saying earlier, everybody's tentative in these games. Everyone's afraid of making a mistake. Boy, it's hard to play goalie that way. It's hard to play goalie that way. You're going to get pucks rifled at you. You're going to start letting them slip through. So, and these two goalies have a history of crap in their pants in Game 7.
It's a crap fest tonight,
just
folks.
Just last year. I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs led 4-3 in that third period, and then it was a free-for-all, and they lose 7-4.
Oh, I mean, if you go by the math, okay, of these two guys in Game 7, shoot the puck. because you've got a 15% chance of scoring on any shot. That, which is astronomically high. That's ridiculous, 15%.
We've got Connor in Pawtucket. Go ahead, Connor.
Hey, Felger, thanks for having me on. Hey, listen, I agree with you earlier. I mean, I think the Bruins have a slight edge. It's pretty much been 50-50 the whole series, but I think they have a slight edge with their experience and, the whole Toronto thing. But I've been watching the Carolina-Washington series. I mean, Carolina's got – they look like the better team. And, Columbus doesn't scare me like Tampa does. And then we'd have home ice the rest of the way. I mean, it just if they win tonight, it just really feels like it would go our way. Let me know your thoughts. Thanks. All right. I'll see you.
The road's never going to get better than it is, especially if Carolina pulls off that upset, which I would go Capitals there, but I'm usually wrong. And the way this playoff has gone, all the good teams,
yeah, who the hell knows,
have gotten bounced.
I mean, that last game in Washington was 6-0. Okay, so I know Caroline has given him a little bit of a run here.
Did you look at that Dougie Hamilton stuff with Ovechkin?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Do you want to see, again, someone who has no penis watch Doug Hamilton? And then go harken back to all the Bruins writers who, you know, circle the wagons around Dougie Hamilton for making that trade. I told you at the time Hamilton was never going to amount to anything. Hamilton has tucked his junk against Ovechkin. It's embarrassing.
There's a play in the 6-0 game where in the corner he holds up. Ovechkin's coming at him full head of steam, and he's like, ugh.
Oh, man, Google it right now. Watch it. You won't believe it. You won't believe this guy. And I don't know how Carolina's done with that Sally ass back there. I don't know how Carolina's drawn even with Washington. But either way, if the Bruins win tonight, the road to the cup goes through Boston. And that's just a cliche, but that's a way of saying you'll have home ice the rest of the way. You'll be the highest remaining seed in the league if you win tonight. And who'll be gone? Crosby, Malkin. If the Capitals lose, Ovechkin, Holpe, Tampa, all-time team gone. Calgary, the best team in the West, gone. Gone, gone, gone. Even like playoff-hardened teams like Nashville, gone. Gone. Winnipeg, big, strong, tough, fast, gives you fits, gone. They're all gone.
Mike, one of the Western semifinals is St. Louis and Dallas. I think I got that right. Yes. St. Louis had the worst record in the league on January 2nd. January 2nd, they had the worst record in the league, and they're playing against Sagan. Like, I look at that as it's ridiculous. The road is there.
Okay, folks, we're going to 6:30. So if you're on the line, hang on. We'll pick up your calls at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. Bob Beers will join us as well. If you want to join us, there's an open line at 617-779-0985. Felger and Maz continues after the final word in our long commercial-free segment next.
Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, Bruins Game Day on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. For the guaranteed lowest prices on tires, go to Town Fair Tire, because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
All right, a couple of pieces of sound to get to here in the final word today. We'll start with something Bruins-related, considering we're here for the Bruins, at TD Garden. And one of the things that Mike did not want to hear about today were your garden ice stories.
All right, a lot of chatter about the condition of the garden ice. Frankly, this is a story I don't really care about. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. The ice sucks.
Because they both have to play on the surface.
Okay, the ice sucks. It usually sucks here. It's never been good.
So it feels like this year's been worse than most. I'm curious.
The home improvement hour. Like, you know, fine. It's whatever. It's the humidity. They leave the doors open. It's the construction. It's the Bruins. It's the Celtics. It's concerts. It's Cher. I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm a geologist.
The ice sucks. It's always sucked. That should be even more excuse to simplify. Would you quit with the dipsy do dangle roo and like trying to
find the extra pass?
Would you just
cute? I hate it.
Get it in position and fire the puck and then crash the net. Blah blah blah, all that stuff. So like, I get it, but I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. That's no excuse for either team. In saying that I don't want to hear about it, Richie North Quincy wants to talk about it. Go, Richie.
Hey, guys. Love the hockey talk. With all the talk about the crappy ice, I decided to call in a buddy of mine who drove the Zamboni. So that also...
Okay, Richie, that's enough. I can't do it anymore. This is exactly what I don't want. I don't want everyone calling in. If you want to do like a home improvement hour and we could talk about all of our home improvements and you can scratch that itch, let's do that on a podcast.
See, another thing is those logos, they emanate heat. They're wicked hot. So those turn to puddles, and those get tough when you try to skate over.
You people
them.
Want to talk about your backyard rink? We'll do a podcast, okay? And we'll talk about your backyard rink and the renting the dehumidifiers.
I think the logo's a neon, Felger. That's what I think the issue is.
They absolutely did rent I remember talking to Cam about it at the time. All right? So the ice sucks. The guy did say that the logos emanate heat.
Yeah.
And melt the ice.
The Stanley Cup playoffs logos, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like a metallic paint that does. It reflects the light, so it heats up the ice. It's like having a leaf on my backyard rink. Yeah.
Every amateur Tim the Tool Man, you know, calls up with some theory on why the ice is scratching.
Yeah, because, Felgen, when I do my rink in the yard, right, and I don't pick up the leaves because they're dark, they attract the sunlight and they burn little leaf-shaped holes in my ice.
Okay. All right, that's what I'm talking about.
I heard this. Listen to that podcast, Ice Ice Baby. Felger also.
I think they got pine needles.
Go.
Also stumbling over draft names, a tradition unlike any other.
Go ahead, Ness.
There you go, Pink.
Yeah.
Oh, you almost got his finger too.
Yep.
Damn.
Almost got me. Okay. I'm going to assume this
top
was...
right. It was the like up by the.
Oh, I see it. Thank you. Yeah. Very good.
Oh yes.
Amani Orurari. Amani Orurari.
You sound like a dog.
You pronounce this. O-R-U-W-A-R-I-Y-E.
Orurari.
Orurari. He's projected in the fourth round, right to the weak points.
Lean frame. Must add strength and bulk. Struggles when taking on blocks. Often getting overpowered. More of a grab tackler than face up here. Misses too many tackles. He's a corner. How's he cover?
No shot. If he can't tackle, he's not coming here.
Okay. He was a fifth-year senior, if that matters to anyone. Put him on the board. Orurari is on the
board.
Dumb
when he can't tackle.
Out of Penn State. And who the hell's going to pronounce that name? It's unreal, you guys. You have a penchant for hitting these guys who have unpronounceable names.
Orurari.
Half hour to go. Felger and Maz are going nowhere. Bob Beer's standing by. More game preview. More of your calls at 617-779-0985. What is that? You smell it, Maz? Do you smell it yet?
Oh, yeah. It's game 7, Felger.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at Apex Entertainment.com.